This is the Deeper Understandings column. This time we talk about Exodus, an eternal promise. It's written for us by Rolf Jacobson, Old Testament professor from Luther Seminary in St. Paul. Exodus combines all the elements to make it a favorite book of the Bible: high drama, friends in low places, holy callings, essential theology, covenantal promise, and basic divine law. Throughout the book, we find dabs of theological humor that tell the truth twice about us and about God. First, high drama. Exodus begins with God's people enslaved in Egypt. Why were they enslaved? Because the new Pharaoh, the man, the power who keeps people down, was afraid of the Israelites and did not know Joseph. That is, he didn't know that one of these Israelites was key to the Pharaoh's thriving household. Are not those two reasons, fear and ignorance, still the cause of so much sin? We go afraid of those different from us and forget that people different from us have blessed us. Then there are friends in low places. How did God begin to liberate his enslaved people? Through tenacious women at the bottom of society, two enslaved midwives who defied Pharaoh's order to murder newborn Israelites. God worked through a mother who loved her son enough to set him free in a basket in the Nile, and then through Pharaoh's daughter who found that son and raised him. That boy was named Moses, and Moses eventually had to flee Egypt because he killed an Egyptian slave master who was beating an enslaved Hebrew people. And there are holy callings. God was not done with Moses or the Israelites. God heard the cries of his suffering people, and God called Moses to free them. Moses wasn't too keen on returning to the land where he committed his crime. Three times he tried to turn down God's call, but God revealed to Moses the divine name, Yahweh, and Moses finally said yes. Many of our Jewish neighbors do not pronounce God's name because of the commandment found in Exodus 10, "You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God." Out of respect for those neighbors, only the consonants in God's name are printed here. So when you see YHWH, you can say instead, "The Lord." And essential theology. With the name Yahweh in his pocket, Moses confronts Pharaoh in an epic battle of plagues to determine who Israel belonged. Were the Hebrew Pharaoh's slaves, or was Israel Yahweh's free people? Long story short, Yahweh handed Pharaoh a massive defeat. Israel was God's free people. And then God says, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And that deliverance from Egypt is essential theology. It's the Easter moment of the Old Testament. And it tells us forever that God is the God of freedom, who delivers the chosen people from bondage. Praise the Lord, and every year at Passover, we remember through ritual meal and worship that God brought Israel out of Egypt and raised Jesus from the dead. And there's a little humor. Back to Egypt. After God freed the Israelites, the first thing they did was complain. "Hey God, did you bring us out here only to kill us by thirst or hunger? Or at least when we were slaves, we had food. So take us back to the flesh pots of Egypt, please. We miss the leeks and those onions." Doesn't this humorous little story tell the truth about human nature? We're so quick to lose faith in God when we're afraid. We do all love the flesh pots of Egypt. Every church and seminary has a Back to Egypt committee. But God leads us forward with forgiveness. And there's the covenantal promise. Exodus tells the truth twice. We may be quick to lose faith, but God is quick to prove trustworthy. God provides water and manna and leads the people to Mount Sinai, where God forges a covenant with them. "I will take you as my people, and I will be your God." A divine covenant is an eternal promise. Yahweh will forever be Israel's God. Israel will forever be God's people. And there's basic divine law. After establishing the covenant, God gives Israel the gift of the commandments. They teach us how to love the neighbor as ourselves. Do you want to love your neighbor? Then follow these commandments. Love God and only God. Don't worship any idols. Don't misuse God's name. Get everyone a day of rest and worship. Take care of the elderly and people with disabilities. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't slander your neighbor. And please don't covet your neighbor's spouse or house. And finally, more humor. Let's worship a calf? To remind us that we aren't good at keeping God's laws, Exodus then tells us how the people thought it would be a grand idea to worship a calf, a false image. God grows a little bit angry, but Moses reminds God that God promised to be the God of Israel, so God forgives. Every congregation and seminary also has a Let's Worship a Calf committee, but God leads us forward with grace and love.